I remember when my mom first started working nails, you know, when my parents divorced, and she went to school at night to become a nurse. And when she became a nurse, she, I think I was maybe 8 or 10, and she had told me, you know, no, right, now that I'm a nurse, I can work basically so much more because there's so many more shifts available. And uh-huh. I remember thinking, and I told her this, I'm like, well, Mom, like, I don't know where this came from. I was like, you know, if you work more and you spend more, you're still going to have to, it's not going to be better.
Listeners, I want to give you $10 and help you save money on groceries, clothing, and booze. Does this sound good? If it does, sign up for the Ibotta Savings app today. I'm a proud affiliate and I have had the pleasure of meeting the CEO of this Denver-based company. He's very serious about helping you save money. After you redeem your first savings, you will receive $10 towards your first payout. The payout threshold, by the way, is $20. Click the link in the show notes to start saving money today. I love Ibotta. They're awesome.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Girl Gone Frugal again. I am actually really geeked out to have the following guest on the show today. She writes a blog called Cheapsters.org. And I actually find her to be so interesting. I think you're going to love all of her insight, wisdom, and just kind of the way that she ticks and thinks about money. So, Jackie, please introduce yourself, share your website, even though I've just said the name, and let's get talking.
Hey, everyone. This is Jackie. And as Michelle mentioned, I run a blog called Cheapsters, cheapsters.org. And besides running my blog, which is basically to help freelancers and artists manage their money and to get creative with their money. I also am a freelance personal finance writer, so I do that full time. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, Michelle, for having me.
Here's my question. I've always wondered this, and I always kind of, whenever I see you, I forget to ask. When you started your blog, were you working a full-time job in an office and then, you know, were working off debt? Or what exactly was the beginning part of your journey?
Yeah, so I started this blog way back, actually. It was 2009, so it was at the height of the recession. And I had started, I was working a full-time job at a labor union for people who worked in film and TV. And so I wasn't doing freelance at all. It was really just a way for me to connect with other people who were frugal, because I loved being frugal. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of literature actually out there, a lot of blogs, as many as there are now, right? And there's a boom of stuff out there, but back then I felt like kind of a lone wolf in my own way, and kind of asserting the fact that being frugal is kind of awesome and trying to meet like-minded people. So it's basically just kind of an avenue for me to make friends who are like-minded and like to save money. And then a couple years later, I realized a lot of my friends who are freelancers or who did art came to me with questions about money, because they're like, Jackie, you're such a money nerd. You love saving money. You love talking about it. I feel like I can talk to you. So I kind of changed Cheapsters to be have more of a focus for freelancing. And then it was not until a year ago when I went freelance full-time. So I was freelancing part-time, on and off, doing side hustles for a long time, I would say, since 2010. I got more serious about it. I was 2014, so 2 years ago, and then last fall, I took the leap. Michelle, you can relate, and did freelancing full-time, which is a big step. So it was actually half intentional and half not. So what happened was I was working a full-time job, a day job, in print publishing, and I got this opportunity kind of land in my lap to be a full-time personal finance writer for an insurance company, and it was a one-year contract job with no benefits. So that was a little bit of a baby step for me, because it was going from a job with benefits to a contract job with no benefits, but basically doing what I've always wanted to do, which was to write full-time about money. And so I took that, but about 2 months into it, they were overstaffed. So I got the pink slip. It was really shocking a little bit, but the good news was I got the notice 2 days before FinCon. So knowing that, I took the red eye to, to where was it last year? It was in Charlotte, right? And
right.
I hustled. I, you know, did the freelancers marketplace. I got tons of leads, and then a month after, I was still going to recruiting agencies. My friend, some of my friends had hooked me up with some recruiters around town at creative agencies. So I was going to a couple interviews. I got this one offer for to work basically as a proofreader at a well-known investment company, getting paid nearly a lot of money, nearly at 10, what was it, six figures, almost six-figure job to do something that seemed very simple. It was an 18-month contract. And I was very close to taking, actually accepted it at first because I was a little nervous. At the time, I had about two or three clients that I was working with freelancing, and then there's all this stuff happening, like cooking, you know. After FinCon, I was kind of courting, you know, in the courtship phase with about four or five other clients. So it was kind of a weird time. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and I talked to my friend, and he asked me some really good questions. He asked me questions like, well, Jackie, how much are you making with your freelance clients now? You know, how much would you be making a month working for this with this contract job at this investment firm? And what would you get out of going freelance full-time versus working at this job full-time? And after he asked me those basic questions that were very logical questions, you know, like about essentials, you know, and I thought I did the math, and I was like, I'm actually not that far off from making, what was it, $8K a month, which is a lot. Which is what I would have made at that, with that contract job. Could do it. I was like, maybe I could do that. Not like it was a goal of mine, but I'm like, you know, and also he said, like, you're going to be laying the groundwork for what you really want to do in life. So think of it that way, you know, and think of taking the risk as a worthwhile investment in yourself. And he was just such a wise person. I actually didn't take the job, and I decided to do freelance. So, yep, that was my foray into freelancing. So it was kind of something I've always wanted to do but was scared to, and then also kind of had to be pushed into a little bit from circumstances.
So did you, in terms of the personal finance side, have you always been debt-free? Like, why were you even writing about money? I know that you started it during the Great Recession, which the president has actually called a depression, but were you, before the Great Recession, were you a frugal person to begin with, of people around you to your frugality, if that was the case?
Sure, no, yeah, those are great questions. I've always been frugal, I think because of how I was raised. I was raised in a single parent home. My mom raised me and my brother, and, you know, she's such a hard worker. My mom worked two jobs as a nurse growing up. She worked so hard. And she never missed a bill. You know, she was very responsible with her money, but I always felt like we were house poor, to be honest. Just for whatever reason, you know, all the money went to our mortgage, all the money went to bills. And I know just seeing people struggle around me. I remember when my mom first started working nails, you know, when my parents divorced, and she went to school at night to become a nurse. And when she became a nurse, I think I was maybe 8 or 10, and she had told me, you know, no, right, now that I'm a nurse, I can work basically so much more because there's so many more shifts available. And I remember thinking, and I told her this, I'm like, well, Mom, like, I don't know where this came from. I was like, you know, if you work more and you spend more, you're still going to have to, it's not going to be better. Like, I told her, like, you know, if, even if you have more bills, you're still going to, like, be like have a struggle. And I don't know where that came from, you know. And I remember telling her that because I think at the time we had Sundays when we would go golfing, like golf and stuff, into the arcade, and that was our ritual. Like, it was like after church, we'd go and we'd have fun. And I think I was scared that I would lose that. My mom worked Sundays. I don't know, it was like a child, like a kid thing, right? But I remember thinking very at an early age that money is time, very early. And I was always very frugal. And I think growing up, I was drawn to frugal people. Even in college, I had two roommates who were frugal, and we had fun, like, finding deals and going to Ross and, like, shopping really cheaply. And I've always thought frugality was the way to go, but a lot of people didn't think that way. They kind of made fun of me. So I think making that blog for me was a way to assert my frugality. It was kind of empowering. Like, hey, I'm cheap, and I'm like, proud of it, and this is awesome way to be. And because before the, you know, the Depression, it was – being cheap was not cool. I mean, it still has a stigma, right? But back then, it was definitely not cool. And then people were like, don't you want to just enjoy your life? Don't you want to live life to the fullest? And I was like, well, being frugal is a way to live life to the fullest, is, you know, putting your money in alignment with your values and having more control over your money. and having a relationship with, a good relationship with your money, which is something people, I think people forget to do or don't know how to do. But your great question, yeah. So it just came from a feeling of wanting to show people that being frugal is awesome and showing them ways they could be frugal and where to find deals and like live fully by being frugal, not living a life of deprivation.
What's the difference to you between cheap versus frugal?
That's a great question. I think they're both very similar because cheap does have a stigma, right? Cheap kind of, okay, I feel like cheap and frugal are good things, but being stingy is not. So I think cheap can be misconstrued as being stingy. And being stingy is like just looking for the lowest cost no matter what the value is. And I think being frugal is more about value, like being resourceful and finding like you might want to spend more money in certain areas of your life if they add value to your life, but not necessarily getting the lowest cost on everything for the sake of being cheap. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you ever feel weird when, have you ever felt weird when people are like, you're cheap?
No, because, well, let me think. I think at the beginning I did feel weird, but now I'm just like, yeah, I'm cheap and I'm proud of it, you know, and look how much more fun and creative you can be by being cheap.
Are you missing out on the things that people imagine you missing out on? Like, are you traveling and eating good food and socializing? Like, what's a week in your life as a frugal
yeah.
person who's a freelancer with income that comes in intermittently as a result of being a freelancer? So kind of walk us through how you enjoy your life.
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So for me, I feel like keeping everything at the baseline, like keeping my base expenses as low as possible is really important. I mean, I am definitely a different person than when I first started the blog or when I first started working full time, probably about 10 years ago. But I think for me, keeping everything as low as possible, like my rent is pretty, I mean, I live in Los Angeles and it is expensive to live here, but I managed to find an affordable place. My bills, I keep very bare bones, you know, just my cell phone, you know, utilities, my food spending. I keep a certain amount I spend a month on eating out and eating in. And in terms of, like, enjoyment with friends, they know I'm a cheap person. I have a blog about it, right? So for goodness sake. So they actually come to me with deals. They're like, Jackie, like, did you know there's this free movie, like, next week? Or there's this deal coming up or whatever. Free stuff. They know I love it. They're like, let's go on this awesome hike free. And I think I do surround myself with like-minded people. I mean, I'm not judgmental, although at one point I might have been a little judgmental about people who were just spending too much, maybe because it was such, maybe I felt like it was going to affect my lifestyle so much, you know, by being around people who were spendthrifts
yeah.
or something. But I think I do pick my battles. Like, if my friends want to go out and have a nice meal, then I will budget for that. So it's really not about not ever going out and having going for a nice meal. It's really just making sure I can afford it and not spending lavishly in all areas of my life, but maybe once in a while, a couple areas. So if I go out, I might go out once or twice a week. I know being a freelancer, being home all day makes me want to go out more, right? Like before I had coworkers and I was more social, but now if I want to see someone, I have to make an effort. So we will just go hiking and we'll eat at a nice place, but not every night. So I try to have a little bit of balance. So it's really not about ever enjoying myself. Like once in a while, like I'll buy something a little expensive, but it's within budget. It's something I'm going to make sure I'm not going to go over my budget or buy something I can't afford.
Whenever you speak with people who are not naturally frugal, what is the thing you notice them struggling the most with?
Oh, that is another great question. Actually, I have a friend. We used to talk every Saturday in the morning for an hour about money stuff. And my friend is of that camp. He just doesn't, he's not frugal or he doesn't budget. And he just spends, like he has all his money in one lump bank account. For him, for a long time, he said like, either I had money in my bank account or I didn't. And I had no idea what happened in between. And I was like, I think what people struggle with the most, what I found in talking to people and my own observations is just the fact that they're feeling like they're not enjoying their life. I really feel like, and that's why they spend. They're like, I deserve it. You know, I deserve to enjoy my life. I deserve to spend my money. But at the same time, they know deep down that they would love to have an emergency fund in case something happens to their job or their car breaks down. But at the same time, there's that lack of discipline maybe, or just the long-term vision of they lack that maybe, and so they're just wanting to enjoy their life, going out with friends or buying nice clothes or going on trips or whatever. I really think that is it, like just feeling like they want to enjoy their life in the here and now.
So when you notice that with friends, what would be the guidance that you would offer to them to be able to manage their financial responsibilities, goals, what have you, but and live their life? Like that whole YOLO thing, but or
right.
The fear of missing out. So how do you manage that personally, and what would you say to someone who's
right.
struggling with that?
It's really hard because I just recently had to do a drastic shift to my diet and exercise. I got some lab work done about 6 months ago, and I'm pre-diabetic, and I have high cholesterol, and this was actually no surprise to me. I've had this for several
You're
years.
Skinny.
Yeah. I'm fat skinny.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just in deep down. I just have, it's probably genetic or something, so I've struggled with this, and I can kind of relate this to people who deal with, you know, not having the discipline or whatever to want to save or have the desire to save right now, because for me, for a long time, I would eat so much junk food because I felt deprived. You know, I felt like, oh, I'm missing out on the cookies, the cakes, the chips, or, you know, the pizza and stuff. And what happens with me, what really helped me change, and I've been a lot better, not perfect, but a lot better, is I, like, changed my mindset. So my mindset is really like, you know what? Eating, like, a cheeseburger and french fries makes me feel gross. And I actually feel better when I eat healthy. And it took a long time for me to get to that point. And I realized for people, it's like, when you get to the mindset of, like, you know what, I don't need all these like fun toys and gadgets and stuff to be happy. You know, changing your mindset. Maybe I'm happier having less stuff. Or maybe I'm happier first having my emergency fund, then enjoying myself. Once you change that mindset, your habits, it's so much easier to develop the good habits. You know, so I realized once I changed that mindset of not feeling deprived about eating crap, eating junk food, it was so much easier for me to develop good eating habits. And I started to automate my eating. So I eat the same thing most of the time for breakfast and lunch, and I had set rules for myself with eating. I know it sounds kind of boring, but it actually helps. And like now, like 90% of the time, I'm on cruise control with my food. And I think for people, like, to just create a system and a process for managing their money, so like 80% of it is like mindless, could help them too. You know, like, and there's so many, I could go on and on about that because I'm really into setting up a structure that works for me because I don't really budget in the sense of like checking everything that comes in and out. I just have like a system, and I have the system in place, and then that helps me stay on track with my goals. Although,
what,
I must say that freelancing, my system is just, I just pay, since I'm freelancing, I had to change my system last year. So I pay myself a salary so I figured out my budget, like my expenses, right, including my fixed costs, you know, like bills, and then also like eating out, gas, stuff like that, household stuff. And I just pay myself a salary, a monthly salary, and I try to be a month ahead. So I got to the point where I'm a month ahead. So by the first of, you know, the month, I have enough for the rest of the month, which is great as a freelancer because, you know, like waiting on payment could take weeks sometimes. That could really mess up your flow, right? And that's really aggravating. So I got to the point where I have a month ahead, and I pay myself a monthly salary, and then everything else is automated. I have buckets. So I have one debit card. This might be complicated to some people. I have one debit card for my groceries and household stuff, one debit card for my eating out and, like, entertainment, and then my credit card I use for, like, paying for gas, other things, and I have another credit card for my utilities. For anything I can, like, that's recurring, I put on with one credit card, so I can accrue points. So it's kind of complicated to some people, but to me, it's like a system that it's on autopilot. And once in a while, I might have to make tweaks, but not often. So, and then in that case, and then I do a percentage with everything else. So everything left over, I allocate toward my goals. You know, so whether that's saving for retirement, or investing, or saving for a trip. So I make sure my goals are, like, accounted for. One of my retirement goals I have automated. So every month I automatically put an X amount into my Roth or something like that. So I try to automate as much as possible because I know how easy it is for money to disappear from you, right? When you have money in your bank account, how easy it is to spend. And so I just try to make it harder for me to spend than to save. So make it easy to save and harder to spend. So creating these little barriers, I guess, or little, well, things to get in the way of you spending as much as you could be spending really helps me.
As a freelancer, kind of walk me through, you talked about the beginning stages of getting into freelancing. You're now, you know, a year in, and I'm wondering, are you actively pitching, or are you getting referrals, a little bit of both? Like, do you have daily goals? How are you making sure that you are consistently hitting the financial goals and personal goals that you would like to hit? Because I think that a lot of freelancers kind of struggle with income flow and, or excuse me, cash flow. And I think part of it is there's all this free time. You get all these distractions. Like, how do you get the money coming in, and how do you stay focused?
Yeah, all great questions. It is very challenging because there's only so much control you have, you know, as a freelancer with the income. And depending on what kind of work you do, the flow can vary greatly. So, I mean, as a writer, I feel like the flow is, quote-unquote, a little more consistent. It can be potentially more consistent, especially if you have retainer clients or clients that you know you get X amount of articles a month. So I'm working right now on getting more of those clients. I had a client where I was working, I had like 8 articles a month from them, which was great, right? And then if you know you can net those kind of clients, like, you know, you can like do 2 articles a month, 4 articles a month, and you know how much you're going to get paid from that client, that really helps. I'm actually still working on that right now because I feel like I could use more of those. Hitting my goals, I think I've just been fortunate in a lot of ways. And also working as a personal finance writer, Michelle, as you know, there's a lot of demand for finance writing right now. Just because, you know, banks are looking to be publishers and the fintech boom, there's so much fintech and apps, and they need, you know, they have blogs and they want writers to write for them. So I feel like there hasn't been much of a problem finding clients because there's so much opportunity. But it has definitely been an active pitching, talking to your friends too, who will write and see if there's any openings. I think FinCon has helped so much. You know, going to FinCon and getting a lot of great leads helps. And I've been fortunate to hit my goals, but my goals have not been like very exact either. Like, I must hit, you know, X amount a month, but I've had enough where I've been able to save for my goals. So that's definitely a work in progress. And as you know, I think thinking of different ways of generating income is definitely a good thing. My old employer at the print publisher, last year I worked for them for about 6 or 7 months, just 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week, and that was really helpful. I'm doing that now, so that actually helps. So, I mean, it really depends. I think for me, I'm coming to the conclusion that maybe doing something part-time and doing writing part-time might be a good combination, because I also want to have time to work on my own personal projects, like writing for my blog and working on a book and writing fiction. So there's other projects I want to do and having the mind space for that, you know, the energy, the creative juices. But at the same time, being a freelancer, you do have that control more than you would working a day job of, you know, how do I want to spend my time? Where do I want my freelancing business to go? And although it isn't tricky, it definitely is more doable than if you have like a day job.
Do you generate this, if you're like, Michelle, that's too personal, do you generate income with your blog? And have you ever considered, if you don't, have you ever considered ways to do that so that
yeah,
can offset
definitely.
Some of the freelance writing?
That's a great question. I have considered it. I've listened to, you know, affiliate stuff, and sometimes I'll get like inquiries for people to just do like a sponsored post, which is great. But I generally do not make much money off my blog. Although it is definitely something, it is a dream to make more money off of it. And I think for the next year, I might be looking more into that. But I think right now my real focus for the blog is just, or has been, it's served as a calling card really for freelance work, which is great. And it's been great in that respect. And I think right now I really want to focus on creating, you know, valuable content that would help others based on my own experiences or based on my own ideas of really how to get creative with your money, you know, because I feel like creative people have the most have a huge potential to be the best money managers. I know it sounds like a paradox in some ways, but it really isn't. Because I think managing money is a creative process in itself. It's not to be dismissed, and there's so many ways you can be creative with how you go about managing your money, and also having a good handle on your money so you can get creative, so you can use it toward your creative endeavors. Whether you want to write a book, or you want to get into podcasting, or you want to, like, you know, learn painting or make videos, like, and there's definitely a lot of opportunity for creative people to really embrace money. And I feel like that's kind of a lot of artists, you think like they abhor the idea of having money, or they have awful relationships with money. And I think that's kind of a misconception. I feel like artists really want to have money. It's just, it can be tough. You know, it can be really difficult to get over the difficult relationship some people may have about money. Like, oh, if I'm going to make money, I'm selling out, right? Or I'm working for the man. Or maybe it's just having money is just at cross purposes with being a true artist. There's a lot of complications or a lot of mixed emotions, I feel like. But I feel like everyone, bottom line, most people would love to have more money, right?
I have no interest in being broke. I have no interest.
Yeah, right.
I want as much money as I possibly can. It doesn't mean that I'm going to spend all this money, but I've, you know what? There's some quote out there about I've been rich and I've been poor and rich is better.
Right.
And I would agree with that. I think people are being very, I don't know. I always laugh when people say, well, I don't need money. I'm like, then you probably haven't had a lot. because
right.
you would say something different, I'm sure. I have many friends who are quite well off. They may have similar problems, but at least they have the money to manage some of these problems. So,
Right, exactly.
There's no flaw in earning money.
Exactly, there really isn't. And right, it's like I think money really is just a tool, and it's a tool to help you with your problems and to help you with some of the goals you have in life. But the whole like old school thought of like money is evil and like, you know, money makes you evil. I think money just kind of brings out who you already are in a lot of ways, you know, and it's really depending on how you use your money and what you do with your money, right? Is what makes you who you are versus having a lot of money automatically makes you an evil person or a corrupt person, which is such an old school way of thinking.
We're about to wrap up, and I'm wondering, what's your goal for next year? Is it to continue freelance writing in the way that you are, or are you kind of reimagining what you'd like to do going into 2017?
Yeah, great question. I feel like for, you know, having done the 1 year and thinking, okay, after, because everyone I've talked to all was like, yeah, your first year of freelancing is the hardest. And so, yeah, after I hit the 1 year mark, I'm like, well, what makes it the second year easier, right? It's like, it's still life. Like, you're still doing the same stuff. So I think for me in 2017, I definitely want to kind of recalibrate and look and see, like, you know, in terms of freelancing, what kind of writing do I want to do more of, and what kind of writing do I want to do less of, what kind of clients do I ideally want to work with, right, and kind of make some tweaks there, and also really think about creating more streams of income, you know, and using kind of freelance writing. It's not as the end-all be-all. I think it really is a big part of what I want to do, but also can be used as a stepping stone maybe towards something else. I'm working on a book series, and it's going to be to help artists, really, and it's tentatively titled, you know, Death of a Starving Artist, and it really is about, like, you know, artists really, let's not be broke anymore, like, let's figure this out, and let's kind of look into see how we can get past that and have money and have a good relationship with money as artists. So that's really what I want to focus on, is to really help that community. So I'm very excited about working on the first book, and I hope to have it ready by next year, so that's going to be a big goal of mine. As well.
Ebook or like a book?
Yeah, it probably will be both. It'll probably be an ebook, and then I'll probably have a limited run of print copies. I have a cousin who's an amazing, he's an amazing artist. We've done zines together, and he's really good with like crafting books and prints and printmaking and stuff like that. So I really want to have like a really cool, like artsy, like crafty kind of cover, like really well designed, well made book. So it might be just like a limited run. In addition to the ebook. Yeah, I'm very excited.
That sounds awesome. For the listeners, please let them know where they can find you on the internet out there in social media. Share everything so that they can find you and follow you.
I can be found on my cheapsters.org, O-R-G, and you can also follow me on Twitter, same handle, cheapsters, or on Facebook.
I'm so happy that I spoke to you. I definitely learned some things. You dropped some value, and I really know, not even hope, I know that this conversation will help a lot of people, especially creatives who are wanting to continue being on their path, which a lot of people may consider unconventional, but not starve in the process. Keep up the good work. People, please do get in touch with Jackie. She's awesome. She's cool. She also has an amazing sense of style, but that's a whole nother podcast where we could talk about fashion, frugal fashion.
Oh, you're so funny.